Hey, everybody, and welcome to an utter episode of Indie Film Cafe. I am your host, Paulie Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cow, here with Continuity Monkey. And we are joined this time by our co-hosts. Please introduce yourselves.
Jonathan A. Moody.
Just Jen.
Yay, Just Jen, you made it back somehow.
Somehow is right.
I what? Know David the Rock Nelson movie kind of threw you for a loop, but she's back for a little bit more punishment.
I see, you know, I was surprised that she was going to come back, you know, but you know, I'm glad. Thank you, Jen.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I ever show up and you have another one of those movies, I'm just going to turn around and walk right back out.
Fair enough.
So wait, are you telling me that you'd rather see a Neil Breen movie than a David the Rock Nelson movie?
Yes.
Oh, wow. There you go.
It doesn't mean I want to see a Neil Breen movie, but you know, the level of things.
It's okay. We have a friend who like called dibs on the next Neil Breen, so you're safe. Yes, there are people that actually want to see and want to watch with us a Neil
Breen.
But it's
okay, because I've got three more, so we'll make sure you get another Breen at some point. But in the meantime, we have gotten together because I believe this is our other 100th episode, is it not, Mr. Moody?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we kind of have sort of 200th episodes because, you know, Continuity Monkey is our IT guy, and he was monkeying around as he usually does, and he got the numbers mixed up. And it turns out the 100th episode is not really quite the 100th episode. We actually have 100th episode and 100th movie. They're not quite the same things. So we actually already did a show for our 100th episode. So this one is going to be our 100th movie episode.
Mm-hmm.
Makes any sense.
That makes sense.
We wanted to make sure that we brought Miss Jen back with us.
Yes, she gets to be in the 100th episode, well, the 100th movie, you know.
Right.
Confusing.
And that movie, what is it that you're here, you asking? Well, it is nothing other than Wild World of Batwoman, Jerry Warren's 1966 classic stinker, covered by Mystery Science Theater. And most of us know it by the Mystery Science Theater version out there because it is high freaking hilarious. But you can also get the regular version out there too, which is equally high hilarious, except not quite as much fun without the little robots' help. But yeah, we're going to talk about this wackadoodle bizarre film. I can tell you, Jen has lots of things to say. All right. Okay, you guys ready after we listen to some
mood
music?
I have no words.
Is it different for you being on Zoom doing it like that, or you know, because you know, with us doing the mood music?
No, it's just funny how y'all time it.
I know. It's a shame, and this would have been a great in-person movie, but that's okay. You gotta do what you gotta do. But anyway, we are back. So kids, please enlighten me. What did you guys think about the Wild World of Batwoman?
It was a wild world.
Very wild.
Truth in the title.
Yeah. Was there a story? Because I didn't really find one.
There was so much story that from so many different things that I have no idea how any of them connect.
Okay. No. There was a story. I mean, it involved an atomic hearing aid. That's what I know.
Sort of, vaguely.
Dancing. Yeah. Soup
that made... what? Okay. So
some
I have...
Which was invisible.
I have a question. I have a question, though.
A question?
Yeah. So the soup, or is it like a pill in the soup?
There are happy pills in the soup.
Okay. So there's happy pills in the soup.
Yes.
Soup, hot soup, girls. Here it is, soup. Get your soup, girls. Isn't that delicious?
Remember all the little dancing? I'm sure you loved that part, Jen. Well, first tell me, did you watch the Misty version?
Yes.
Did you watch the other version as well?
No, didn't feel the need to.
But you hadn't seen the Misty version before, had you?
No, I feel like, and my apologies, that's why I keep looking aside, I feel like I have seen part of it, but it wasn't Misty. Didn't they have another one after MST3K? It was like the film crew or something like that.
Yeah, I think they did. I did something like that.
Okay, because I feel like I've seen part of it, but it was just too weird not having the robots and the characters that I saw. I don't remember, but I feel like I definitely have seen pictures of it.
I mean, we normally just do the regular version of that, but I put up the Misty version as well, just because it is one of my favorite Misty episodes. The riffing in this film was hilarious. It was so funny.
Well, as I said, like, some of it went a little over my head. I didn't know who some of the people that they were poking fun at was. You specifically mentioned Dana Plato? Plato.
Dana Plato, yes. The first Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, I was not aware of who she was. So some of the like lines kind of went over my head. And that's fine.
It was a great variety. Like, you had to have a lot of different knowledge. Like, some of the stuff that one-liners I was listening to, and now, of course, I can't remember one of them. I was like, oh my gosh, that's from something completely way, way different.
Yeah.
Right. And these guys are, if they're not my age, they're just a few years older than me, but they, you know, they would reference things like, oh God, I forget the name of the damn cartoon, but that's where the drizzle, drazzle, drizzle, drum, time for this one to come home, which is like an old cartoon. Back when I was a kid, it was old. You know, I think it's from the 50s or 60s or something. So they knew it because they all grew up with it. But, you know, if you don't know that stuff, you're kind of out of luck. It's weird. Yeah. And you got to remember, too, and we're going to get into the whole thing with the rat thing, because there's a story behind that. There's a lot of stories about this film. But, I mean, remember, this is mid-60s. So we're talking 50-plus years ago that this came out. So the frame of reference for just this movie, much less the riffs, you know, people out there just don't get it, you know. So I guess we should try a little bit to sort of talk about what happens in the film. Who do you think's up for that?
Not it.
I mean, I can try to explain sort of the story.
I'll help you.
Okay, you please do, because this may need some help. It is all
over. I've seen this movie so many times.
I know. God, I feel sorry for you.
It
starts off with these three girls who are, I guess, being inducted into the Batgirl cult, you know, or whatever. They're vampires, I guess. I don't know. Which it was strange. But they don't drink like blood, they drink sort of yogurt with like other stuff
mint,
in it.
Cherry and strawberry flavored yogurt.
And like, she thought it was going to taste worse or something. I don't like, because I guess she thought it was going to be blood. So then she gets inducted into this group of women who have like, I guess they have like wristwatches that they can communicate with each other and stuff. And then so there's a random violence that happens, like some guys, some crime. It just shows like there's crime around town.
Something and then, from another film basically happens.
Was it? Okay, I did not know that, but yes. And then the girls are watching and they don't do anything, and then they go they just watch and they're like, oh,
they kind of hide next to some fencing.
You're right, they're like hiding behind trash cans, it looked like, and they're like whatever. So then we go to a bar where everybody's just, I guess everybody had the happy juice because they're all dancing, and the girl, one of the back girls, gets a kidnapped, gets basically Bill Cosby'd and stolen away and kidnapped. And yeah, she wakes up and she's kind of like, they're laughing and smiling the whole time. It's really weird.
This is Bruno and Tiger,
and they are like really happy to have her. And then basically they go to the doctor's lair.
They take her back to Dr. Neon with
Dr. Heathcliff. Neon with Heathcliff, who I guess is like, you know, got turned into an animal of some sort. So he's kind of weird and wacky and
just an idiot.
Just an idiot. He's kind of the Renfield of the group, I guess. You know, if you want to go with Dracula, you know.
Like if you were to take Renfield and throw in a whole big heaping spoonful of Jerry Lewis, that's kind of where you're at. Only worse.
Only worse. So then I guess they find the Batwoman finds out where they are. She comes to basically get them, and then she finds out it's all part of Rat Fink's which
diabolical
is a
plan.
Diabolical plan to steal
an atomic
hearing aid that just allows you to listen to everybody's phone conversations, which I'm like, even if that were possible to have happened, this is why I wish Lenore had been here, because I would love to hear the science behind this. But even if that were able to happen, like, how could it go from like one phone to another phone? Like, the logic behind an atomic hearing aid does not even, you know, make any sense.
And
but
the funny thing is that, you know, if you go and you listen to the, because usually in the mystery one you're laughing too hard to even hear about the background details, but in the regular version you find out that the reason this is all happening is because the IJAX corporation under which JB and Flanagan work, they were told to destroy it because the US government doesn't want it because they think it's too dangerous, because if you were to mix the atomic hearing aid with cobalt radiation, whatever the hell that is, it becomes a thermonuclear device and will blow up.
Oh, we find that out.
Well, we find that out. But of course, JB decides he doesn't want to get rid of it because he thinks that it'll become valuable, much more valuable later on. So he doesn't get rid of it. And that's when Flanagan sits on his lunch and explains to him, "You're deliberately sitting on my lunch, aren't you?" So that puts them in peril. And, you know, in order to prevent Rat Fink from stealing it, they get the Batwoman to post all her Batgirls in there. And you'd think with all the guns and all the dancing that they'd be able to stop them. But of course, no, the Dr. Neons manages to slip them all a happy pill soup, Mickey, and they all go dancing off. And in the meantime, they were able to steal it. And Tag, you're it, Moody, you're next.
All I remember next is some mole people, some random, tell us, explain that to us, Paul, because I know you've got a little story with that.
Oh yeah, because remember Neon and his buddy Heathcliff, you know, they're I guess the mad doctor and his laboratory assistant, well, they also have monsters, quote unquote, in the back someplace, I
Why
guess,
not?
With the cleaning supplies. And because Jerry Warren didn't have the money, he wasn't able to actually come up with anything that vaguely recognizes monsters. So instead, he simply stole clips from the movie The Mole People and threw it in there and said, "These are our monsters."
Yeah.
That's why they're never in the same scene or in the same shot. They're just there, you know, or whatever. And
but,
then,
you know, Dr. Neon is very attached to them, and Heathcliff, for whatever reason, is dying to see them. And there's this prolonged pill-taking scene where he's trying to sort of make Heathcliff a guinea pig. Not the way you do it in science, by the way, but that's besides the point. But he's trying to just sort of, it's like, "Oh, I have to test the pill. You take it. Let's see what the hell happens." And Heathcliff is an idiot, but at least he's not that stupid, and he's not just going to take a pill and he won't do it. But Neon keeps promising, "Oh, if you take the pill, I'm going to see the monsters." But the scene goes on and on and on. And that's probably one of the biggest problems with Jerry Warren, is that he will beat a scene to death, to absolute death and beyond. Mm-hmm. And just drags on and on and on. It's just so bad.
I'm glad I'm not aware of who this Jerry Warren guy is, you know. And neither is Jen, I'm sure, because, you know, though I did look up some of his titles of the movies that he had done, and some of them seemed really fun. So I'm anxious to
remember, this is the era of the drive-in where all you needed was a fun title, and it didn't matter to anybody what the crap was up there. You just needed a title to get the teenagers into the drive-in so that they, because they weren't going to pay attention anyway. They were going to get drunk and make out and do pot.
True.
Pretty much. Do pot. You know.
Do the pot.
No. Anyway, what else? Like,
one of the guys, was it Tiger, that is like flirting with one of the girls that they captured?
He steals one of the girls, and so they have to make a switch where Batwoman's going to go save the girl, and then there's like shenanigans that happen. There's a beach party. Some other girls get captured. Some of the whitest
hoot nanny happens.
Yes, some of the whitest hoot nannies you're ever going to see is going to happen.
One of my favorite bits is like later when they get kidnapped again or whatever, and Batwoman goes to save the girls. She uses some kind of thing to like unhook them with her, like, you know, her, and she mentions to the girl,
unhook one of them. It's one.
Yeah. And so then she tells the girl to use that to unhook them. And the girl literally just goes and unhooks the other girl, you know, instead of, and I think in the Misty version, they were like, you know, what?
I was saying, yeah, that was Batwoman's superpower.
Yeah, that was crazy. So
at that point, they've kind of cornered Brett Fink, and he decides to turn on his duplicator device. And all of a sudden, there's like six Brett Finks, and they all go running round and round and round like a Keystone Cops routine for like 5 minutes. And again, it just drags on and on and on.
It's like a musical chairs that won't stop. Exactly. And when you're like, okay, is this going to end anytime soon? Because I'm not having fun anymore.
Until someone finally wisely decides to just put the brakes on there, and they unmask him. And it turns out, spoiler, Rat Fink is JB all along, because, which you already knew, because he had the exact same voice. It wasn't even close. And he decides to say that he's doing all this because he doesn't want to give up the device, because he has a problem where he loves listening into other people's phone conversations. It's so weird.
I know that was a weird like little plot device right there, you know.
And there is where the movie should have ended. Unfortunately, we got another like what 15, 20 minutes of weird stuff that happens for no reason except for padding.
Dancing,
yes, know. There's dancing. Tiger gets sort of kind of initiated into the group, into the Batgirl group. And they teach him how to dance, and people fall into the pool, and Heathcliff all of a sudden stops being a monkey boy and comes back as a regular person. And we get this whole thing about what happened and why, and nobody cares at this point because the movie should be over. And then he gets bonked on the head, and he goes all the way back to the same thing all over.
Well, he became the way he did because the doctor gave him the thing that exploded. And I gave him a kiss too, by the way. That was the most weirdest. Like, I remember the Misty people going, "Ew!" That was so strange. It was weird. And then he gives him a kiss and then runs away and then he explodes and now he's back to normal. But then at the end of the movie, he goes back to his weird way. So I'm like, what the fuck is going, this thing flip-flops like so much. It drives me crazy.
So many false endings. And this is the infamous one where Tom Servo's had enough and he just wigs out at the end on Mystery Science Theater version. And it is hilarious. It's one of my favorite Misty moments.
And
I know, it's hysterical. How many times have you and I and the Just Jen thought that exact same thing for other films?
The last one?
Uh-huh. Many times the last one.
Oh my God.
Probably just a half hour into a movie that was 2.5 hours and long.
People, I'm telling you, what we've just described is still nothing compared to what's going on in the film. It's one of those movies where something ridiculous and stupid is happening every 5 seconds, and there's so much you just can't contain it all.
If you haven't seen it, you can watch it on YouTube, you know, for free.
Well, what got me when you're talking about things happening is there was stuff happening in the foreground, which was usually the conversation. It was boring as hell. And then when you looked behind him, there's like weird stuff in the background, like a tug of war or dancing or something just weird.
One of my favorite parts is when they first steal the kidnapped girl and they stick her in the cage, and they're the evil people are talking, and in the background she's just like going doop, 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 and everyone's like, huh, what the fuck's going on back there? She's doing because, a rain dance,
because like at that point we never even knew about the happy pills,
right?
So like all of a sudden we're just seeing this chick just going up and down, up and down.
So dancing. Strange
dancing, just I guess. Quote unquote dancing.
And then when they visit Batwoman in her lair, and then in the back, you know, they're talking in the foreground, but nobody cares because in the background they got two Batgirls fighting over a horseshoe. Just so weird. Yeah,
I watched some of the videos on YouTube and I watched some yoga videos and they'll talk about meditating and then the animals are playing in the background. I'm like, forget meditating. I'm just gonna stare at the cats playing or the dogs playing. Why?
So let me give you guys a little bit of background about
this. Yes, please.
There's so many stories. But okay, so yes, Jerry Warren directed this movie in 1966. So I think it was made somewhere between 1965 and 1966. Mm-hmm. He's the man who's responsible for movies like Man Beast and Teenage Zombies and the infamous Frankenstein Island. I'm going to show you guys at some point. It's incredibly bad. But he would also take a lot of Mexican movies and sort of take the basic Mexican movie and then add on like 10 or 15 minutes of other footage, cram it in there, whether it made sense or not, and then stick it out into the drive-in public. So
you can't do that, right? Like literally, you can't just steal a movie and then call it your own.
Well, you could purchase it though. Once you purchase the rights to that film from another, especially from another country, it was yours to do with what you wanted. So usually they would say, okay, this is either too boring, not long enough, or there's so much Spanish or other languages in this film that we're going to have to add something in there to make it more palatable. So that's what they would do, especially if it was, you know, something that was like around the same time. So if it was like the hippie thing going on or Batman thing going on, they would shoot 10 or 15 minutes, whether it had anything to do with the movie or not, didn't matter. And then you'd shove it in there. And then that's how you would hook into the latest craze. That was one of the things that you could do. It was a cheap way to get a movie out into the drive-in back then. So that's one thing that he would do. So he did that, and he ended up getting sued by several different entities. So I guess I'll go into these one at a time. First of all, there's Rat Fink. Okay. Now, the name Rat Fink actually goes back to the 40s and 50s, where there was a motorcycle logo that turned into a character that turned into a very, very small comic called Rat Fink. And it was a rat who rode a motorcycle. And if you were like a kind of scooter jockey back then, and you were cool, you sort of knew who that was. So, but that was Rat Fink with an F. So Ray Dennis Steckler, remember from Rat Fink a Boo Boo, comes along, loves the name, decides he's going to make that into his superhero, but he changes it just enough so that Rat Fink is Rat P-F-I-N-K. And then we have Rat Fink a Boo Boo, which came out the year before this. So then Jerry Warren decides he's going to do Rat Fink, and Ray Dennis Steckler with Steckler Morgan Productions sued him. But because that Ray Dennis Steckler was even smaller fish than Jerry Warren was, he just kind of ignored him. But Warren also got in trouble because Ajax, the company that makes Ajax, were pissed off because they took the word that they didn't like. So he had to go back and put Ajax or whatever that thing was as an insert later on. And then the big one was DC Comics, who had a character named Batwoman back in the 50s. She was there until 1964 when she was replaced by Batgirl, but she was still the intellectual property of DC Comics. So they sued him. And he, of course, being a little fish, didn't have a whole lot of money. So in order to sort of get his movie back in circulation, he had to change the title. So what he did was he changed the title to She Was a Hippie Vampire, because by then it was getting into 1967, which was, of course, the year of the hippies and the Summer of Love and all that crap. And he tried to make it something that, because the Batman craze by then was over, but the hippie thing was just starting. And that's where that whole beginning insert comes in, where he shot three or four minutes of these three Batgirls who never appear anywhere else in the movie.
Right.
Talking about the vampire stuff that never appears anywhere else in the movie.
Yeah, okay. I wondered about that.
I thought about that too, but I thought that all the girls looked so unlike you couldn't distinguish any of the girls from anything else. So I figured that maybe they were just blended in the background there. So I didn't even.
Yeah, no. And there's a story about them too. But yeah, these are three that came in later on in order to sort of save face. Now he ended up. The sad thing is, even though he ended up winning his suit later on, because I guess they figured that even though it's close, nobody in their right mind is going to confuse Jerry Warren's Batwoman with DC's Batwoman. Mm-hmm. Still, going to court like that pretty much broke Jerry Warren, and he was unable to make any other films until his final film later on in 1981, the infamous Frankenstein Island. And a lot of the same people who were in Wild World or Batwoman ended up in Frankenstein Island, which is kind of amazing because Catherine Victor, who is the titular Batwoman in this film, she had been in a whole bunch of Jerry Warren movies before. She was in also things like, she was in Mesa of Lost Women. She was in Phil Tucker's horrible Cape Canaveral Monster, which is a movie we're going to do at some point. So she's kind of already knows crappy, bad, terrible, cheap movies. She was in another one, it was House of Black Death, which isn't too bad. And but she always would say that her biggest regret was working as long as she did with Jerry Warren, because he had such a poor reputation that she felt that it hindered her career. Later on, she would end up becoming the script supervisor and continuity person for Disney animated productions. So in the 90s, she's involved in things like Aladdin and all kinds of stuff like that. And then she ends up getting back into movies. And like in 1991, she's in a movie called Bikini Summer, where she plays a bit part. And then she ends up in Fred Olen Ray's movie, Fugitive Rage, in 1996.
Nice.
And if you go and you read Fred Olen Ray's wonderful, wonderful book, which is, let me see, I wrote it down here someplace. It's, The New Poverty Row, Independent Filmmakers as Distributors, which is a wonderful book. He talks to her about her experiences, and she has a lot of interesting things to say about this film. For example, and I think Moody and I brought this up, Jerry Warren wanted her to play the lead, and she was like, no, I'm not. I know what your films are like. And he said, come on, I've got, he was writer, producer, director, editor, he did music, he did all kinds of stuff, and he promised her that this was going to be a big budget movie, that it was going to be in color, and that she was going to have her own boat, the Bat Boat, none of which actually happened. And as a matter of fact, she ended up having to sew her own costume, which is why that outlandish costume that she wears is the way it is, because she had got pretty much last minute. They're like, yeah, we got no money. You're going to have to make something on your own.
Oh, Jesus. That's fucked up. Like, I'm sorry, but that's that. Like, we've had some really fucked up, like, people in movies and in these things, but that's just as bad as the guy in From Hell It Came stealing the monster at the last minute because he couldn't make one or something, or what it was, no, the rug monster,
he wouldn't pay for it.
Rug monster guy, not From Hell It Came, was what is it, creeping terror, yeah, he wouldn't pay for it, so he stole it or whatever, right? Like,
and
that's,
he had to cobble something together last minute.
Oh my God. Those are just as bad stories, like horrible. Why is it that the 50s and 60s had these horrible directors who just did these nasty things? Like,
So Jen, can you describe what Batwoman's costume looks like?
60s carnival with boob tattoo.
Yes, it's like a low-cut cocktail dress with like a mask, like a very feathery kind of mask.
Yeah, what's up with her hair too? That was really sort of mohawkish. Kind of reminded me of that character in Hook that has the mohawk thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she had to do that herself too. But yeah, with the bat drawn on with the magic marker.
Yeah. I mean, actually, compared to even some modern ones, it wasn't too bad. I was like, okay, I'll take it. I don't know why you put a bat on your chest like that, but okay.
As you do.
Oh, yeah. And then had various chains and brooches, almost looked a little 80s Madonna-ish.
Yeah.
Not she, the worst costume we've seen.
Was actually, you know, in the 40s, she was a stage actress and radio voice actress. So she actually had a lot of experience. She's not the worst actor in the world. You're not going to tell from her Jerry Warren experiences because Jerry Warren doesn't know how to direct, but she's wasn't really that bad. And she also did other things. She did some modeling. She was a real estate person in between. And as I said, she ended up working for Disney for a good chunk there too.
As far as acting, real quick before you get into that, Anne, as far as acting goes, I actually thought she was pretty decent, like her part. Like I thought of all the people, at least she was the lead in a way, you know, or whatever. Like it was her as Batwoman. So I thought she did good.
I felt she was kind of uneven. There were parts where she was really good. There were other parts she just kind of sort of wasn't. But who knows if it's one of those things where Jerry Warren took one take and he just decided not to reshoot. Mm-hmm. But the end I wanted to get to is that she also has, before she died, donated a collection of her papers. So there are the Catherine Victor papers, which are in the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Margaret Herrick Library. And it's a bunch of documents spanning her career from 1943 to 2002. So if anybody is ever interested in learning more about her and wanting to do some studious, you know, work about her, you can actually go there and you can get access to the collection. And there's probably all kinds of information out there. I looked online to see if I could find some tidbits online, but I guess it's all locked up in the museum, which is, you know, the way
it where
is.
It belongs.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I pulled the Indiana Jones right there.
So she was probably one of the more the more veteran actors on there. And again, she did a lot of Jerry Warren stuff. Steve Brody was the other guy. He's the one who played Flanagan. He's in a whole bunch of Jerry Warren movies. But before that, he was also in a bunch of B movies, especially B Westerns from the 40s and 50s, stuff that was just, you know, kind of like, who's that guy that Ed Wood always used with the cowboy? He always do the cowboy. The tall thin guy,
was it Kenny Duncan or...
Kenny Duncan it's similar. He's a similar kind of role where he's in just a bunch of crappy indie B movies, but he also shows up in a few other real pictures. So 1953, he shows up in The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, which is actually a decent horror movie of the day. 1954, he shows up in The Caine Mutiny with Humphrey Bogart. Now we're talking small roles, but still, that's a thing. And he ended up graduating into a lot of TV shows in the 50s and 60s. 1964, he gets into Roustabout, which is the Elvis movie, movie that he's in with Elvis. And then after that is when things start to go downhill from him for that. And he ends up in a couple of real stinkers towards the end. Giant Spider Invasion in 1975. That's with the big fake stupid spiders.
Oh.
And another stinker I'm intending on inflicting on you guys later on, 1988's The Wizard of Speed and Time, which is just bizarre and strange. So then Neon, who's, I guess, was your favorite character, Moody, was played by George Mitchell Andre. He was in pretty much all of Jerry Warren's films. Plus, he's been a couple of other interesting things. He was in a movie called Putney Swope in 1969, which is weird ass movie. We're going to get to that one probably for What the Fuck Fridays. And then he was in a bunch of TV stuff, especially in the 60s and 70s. So things like The Waltons, Mod Squad, Mannix, that kind of thing.
See, Jen, you've never been on What the Fuck Friday because it was the thing that we started because we couldn't show you some of these. But I think some of them eventually we could show you sometime.
Yeah, we could.
If you ever want to come on and watch like a What the Fuck movie, you know.
Test your patience a little bit. So interestingly, the guy who I thought was actually pretty darn good throughout the movie was Mel Oceans, who plays Tiger. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
This was pretty much the only movie he was in, other than he was also played a bit part in Jerry Warren's Attack of the Mayan Mummy in 1964. But that's it. So I'm kind of a surprise. I would have expected him to have been in more things, but he apparently wasn't. Now, his buddy Bruno, the mean mob guy, was played by Steve Conte. Steve Conte is another guy who was in a whole bunch of movies. He was born in Italy, and he came over and he was in a bunch of 50s TV westerns and stuff, but he was also in a bunch of Jerry Warren movies. So Jerry Warren, just like Ed Wood and some of these other guys, they would work with the same people over and over and over, because either he knew he could get them to not pay them or pay them very little. You know, apparently he would pay Catherine Victor like the sum of like $300 for some of these movies, you know, total.
Still, back then, that was pretty good money, you know.
For a 5-day or 6-day shoot, I guess so. It's pretty close. But he was also in a number of other films. He was in Terror of the Blood Hunters in 1962, Face of the Screaming Werewolf in 1964, and a really awful movie called Hamburger, the Motion Picture in 1986.
I know of that movie. I think I watched it years ago. I rented it from the video store. And just because I like that and Hot Dog the Movie, you know, like
double just, feature.
Yeah, that's just, you know, and you got to, you know, if we ever do that, Paul, if we ever make that as a thing, we got to have hot dogs and hamburgers, you know.
Oh, yeah, we should do a summer movie that's just like camping and
that would be great. Yeah. I would see, we're coming up with ideas with.
I know. Okay, keep going here. We have Seltzer. He's that weird guy from the patent office with the glasses. That is Bruno Vissotto, who is in a whole bunch of stuff. If you watch enough 50s and 60s and 70s B movies, you will see him in a lot of them. So he was in Female Jungle, which he actually directed as well. He was in Teenage Doll in 1957, The Wasp Woman in 1959. He was in a whole bunch of Roger Corman movies, including Attack of the Giant Leeches. He was in Creature of the Walking Dead, 1965, Hell's Angels on Wheels, 1967. And he also directed other films, including The Brain Eaters and Invasion of the Star Creatures. So he was in a whole bunch of stuff.
So who's this guy? Which one?
Bruno Vissotto.
Okay.
Heathcliff, your buddy. That was played by Lloyd Nelson. Lloyd Nelson was a script supervisor primarily. If you go on his IMDb page, you'll see he's mostly done that. And interestingly enough, most of his work seems to be with Clint Eastwood movies. So apparently they were buddies somewhere along the line. So he was a script supervisor for things like Bronco Billy, The Deadpool, Honky Tonk Man, and he acted in Every Which Way But Loose, Bronco Billy, Pale Rider, Sudden Impact, a lot of Clint Eastwood movies. So apparently they were buddies. And after that, in the 80s, he became a cop, actually, of all things. So
nice.
That's our buddy Heathcliff.
Do you think people could, like, if people knew that he was a cop and that he was an ex, like, you know, B movie actor, do you think people ever just like joked on him oh, you're gonna arrest me, Mr. Heathcliff?
Well, I think he primarily did sort of administrative stuff, because by the time he went back into it, he was kind of older and didn't want to have to get involved with foot chases and that kind of a thing. The guy who plays JB, who's also Rat Fink, is Richard Banks. So funnily enough, Wild World of Batwoman and Frankenstein Island are the only two movies this man was in. So two of the biggest stinkers ever.
So I gotta watch Frankenstein Island. Is on Amazon. I gotta check
we're
that
gonna
out.
We're gonna do it.
I know we're we'll do it, but it'll be nice to watch it sometime too beforehand. So I know what I'm getting myself into.
I have to be honest, all the men in there, like, they just merged together. Sometimes I could tell who the scientist was, and of course Heathcliff, which I guess that's his name. I just called him the idiot in my head. and so I recognized the idiot, Batwoman, and Rat Fink, and that's just because he had a mask. The rest of them, like all the girls, were just mushed together into a female.
Well,
I could not tell who was who.
It's interesting you bring that out, because I do have some Batgirl information for you guys. So, ooh,
Batgirl information time.
The main Batgirl, not Batwoman, but main Batgirl, was actually
the blonde chick, right?
No. That is the girl who gets kidnapped, the brunette. Okay, her name is Susan Lodge. Now, Suzanne Lodge was supposed to have had a bigger role in this. She was actually in one of the original Star Trek episodes, And she was in a bunch of TV shows in the 70s. She was in The Colbys, Dynasty, Murder, She Wrote. And then she was actually, if you ever saw the Jeff Bridges movie, Jagged Edge, she was the reporter in that one in 1985. So she actually has something of a background. The blonde girl that you're talking about is named Lucky Wynn. She was only in two other movies. One was Love is a Four-Letter Word in 1966, and the other is a sort of nudie slash roughy from 1968 called Help Wanted Female, which actually, I've seen that movie. It's not that bad. It's okay for that genre. But the thing was, according to Catherine Victor, she was supposed to be the Lucky Wynn's blonde character, wasn't supposed to really have very many lines, but she ended up getting half of the lines that were supposed to go to Susan Lodge's character, because apparently Jerry Warren decided that that Susan Lodge was getting too big for her britches. And in order to punish her, he cut her lines and gave them to the blonde chick. And Catherine Victor said, that's just something that Jerry Warren would do. If you pissed him off, he would cut your lines on you.
Jesus. Kind of
petty. I know.
Like, the more I hear about this guy, the more I think he was a dick. Jesus, you know?
kind of. Now, the other Batgirls, the ones that are kind of bland in the background, none of them did anything. And you know why? Because most of them were strippers. And the reason they're in the film, legend has it, and again, this comes up in the book by
Fred Olen Ray.
Apparently, the casting director just happened to be in the area where a local strip club was being raided by the cops. And when the girls were getting pulled out and they were all upset and everything, he offered roles like on the spot to three or four of them and said, hey, come work for this movie we're doing. You guys will be perfect. You just got to look cute and dance around. So that's what they did.
Pretty much. I mean, that seems legit. Wow. Now, I want to talk real quick about that Chinese seance.
Oh my God, one of my favorite bits.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite bits too, I'm not gonna lie.
Why was there a seance?
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, I who watched the extra movie, like the actual movie, was like, wait, what, huh? What
right,
was going
you
on?
Think- Batman, yeah, instead of following clues and doing investigations, clearly he's going to go to the parapsychology in order to solve this mystery.
No, that's not how Batman works. Apparently this is how Batwoman works in this people's minds, but like that was just ridiculous. But like, it was so funny because like the whole time somebody, they're reaching out to somebody that's trying to help them out, and then I guess there's somebody else on the line. It's just like, it's ridiculous. It's like, what is this scene? Why is this in here? Like, what is going on?
So long, too.
I know. It goes on and on.
So drawn out. I mean, there's no need to be that polite.
I know. You're like, is she? After a while, I was thinking she was going to start yelling at the guy. It's like, look, okay, we get it. Go away. We need to talk
and
to this guy.
That is a hallmark of Jerry Warren. Long, long, long ass takes. And insufferable dialogue that just goes on and on for no reason except for padding, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and most times when you make a indie film, what happens is a long scenes will be shot, right, so that they can cut, you know, or whatever, so they want to make sure they can cut at the time, but usually you cut. You know, these just keep going and going. And I'm like thinking what they did was he was in the editing room and he was just like, I love all of this. Let's just keep it all. Let's just let it go.
That's why Tom Servo was like, please, can this be the end of the pill taking scene?
I know.
Because they just go on. And then the ending, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. But we haven't even touched onto the horrible, horrible racist character of the seance bit, which is so ridiculous. The fake Chinese. Oh, that's one of my favorite Misty parts, is when, you know, the guy's going, ching, chow, 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 chow. And the guy's like, okay, I don't think that's actual Chinese being spoken.
No, that was not actual Chinese.
That was so bad. I mean, I cringed and I kept looking around. I was like, I know there's no one else in this house.
I'm thinking Breakfast at Tiffany's. Remember in 1961 with Mickey Rooney and his yellow face? This is on the same level as that.
Well, this is worse.
Yeah.
This is worse because, like, honestly, it just seemed like, you know, like, because nowadays, definitely you can't do that. You absolutely can't. And this movie, like, just went there and it was obnoxious. Like, it was, like, I don't know why they even thought this was a good idea to have in the scene. You know, like, I guess for comedy purposes,
exactly,
you know, is what they were trying to do, but it was so unfunny that it just did not work.
Yeah, it could have made up a language, just have someone making these sounds and kind of sounds like a language, and that would have been better.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you put your finger on it before we started recording, where you said that this has sort of a zany Monkees-ish kind of thing going on. Monkees definitely were going on at this time. Batman was definitely going on at this time. And then the other thing that was going on at this time were, remember, all the beach movies. So Annette Funicello and all that stuff.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. This movie, to me, was a mashup of three or four different genres that were kind of hot in the middle of the 60s that they were trying to cash in on. A quick, easy, let's just throw something up there and not put too much thought behind it. We'll put in this and this and dancing and music and the kids will love this and chicks in hot bikini things and lots and lots and lots of leopard skin print stuff. I'm sure you noticed that, Jen.
Yep. Lots and of bikinis, lots of butt wiggles.
Yeah, butt wiggles. And lots of like close-ups of girls' butts, like, right, you and know, or whatever.
The go-go dancing of the day, which we all think, you know, my God, are they dislocating their hips? But that's just, you know, that's typical for the period, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, they just kind of threw all that in there. It's just that even the Monkees episodes, zany as they are, made a lot more sense than this, because they actually were put together decently well.
Well, I mean, yeah, they were more Hollywood, you know, than this ever could be considered, you know. This is
also funny throughout, like the whole point of the episodes, because I used to watch them all the time with my mother because they were fun, especially when you're a kid.
Sure.
And that was the point of it. It was fun. It was funny, kind of like the original Batman. It was just goofy, and that's what it was meant to be. But this one, you're like, okay, is this supposed to be an action movie? Is this
That's part of the problem, is that the Batman TV show and the Monkees TV show can be weird and zany, but it's okay because you have time to get used to that. You know, you go from one episode to the next to the next, and it's consistent, and you get to build up a knowledge and a feeling for these characters and what they're doing and why. This, on the other hand, is just a movie. You're just thrown right into it, and they do all this crazy zaniness, and you have no idea who these people are. And you're like, what the hell's going on? Why does nothing make sense?
You know what it also reminded me of? Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It had a little, like, especially with the unmasking, like, let's find out who this guy is. And they take off the mask. JB! They all did that. They go, JB! And I'm like, oh, God. Like, this is such a Scooby-Doo moment. And it was like, so there were so many different things that they were trying to put into one movie.
Right.
It didn't work because, like, it's just a mesh.
And it's not clearly not supposed to be like a James, which is another thing which was happening at the time, is the James Bond movies, you know, which was serious. Clearly they were trying for a campy, fun feel. The problem is, of course, if you don't know how to do comedy, you are going to make a mess. And that's exactly what this was, because there is stuff that just happens, you know. It's the seance thing is a classic example of that, but the whole thing with the Keystone Cops thing where they just go round and round and round.
Oh God. That's so
supposed
annoying.
To be hilarious. Are you
so annoying? It was so annoying. It was like, after a while, I just wanted to just stop. I'm like getting dizzy watching you guys run around for five
minutes. And then, you know, Heathcliff, you know, goes from being a monkey boy to Paul Lynde with his little cravat, you know, and that's supposed to be hysterical. And then he goes back and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because he gets bonked in the head. like just tapped in the head and all of a sudden he's back to whatever.
Yeah, none of that makes sense. It was like a newspaper.
Yes, it was a newspaper. Bunks him in the head and then he's just all of a sudden, oh, I'm back to, you know, licking and doing whatever animal shit, because apparently he was an animal. Like that was what he did, you know, the experiment that he did on him. Turn him into some kind of animal, didn't say what, you know, and I was, didn't matter, you know. None of this movie really mattered.
No, it's just ridiculous and crazy. But on the other hand, it's a lot of fun because there's something stupid happening every couple of seconds. So to me, I love it because it's really difficult to say that you get bored by this. I was not bored by this. What about you guys?
Yeah, Jen, were you bored?
Well, not bored, but there were boring moments.
Sure.
There were drawn out moments, all the dialogue. And for example, at the very end, when he doesn't want to take off his mask and he has to do this explanation, it's like, goes on, but wait, and it goes on and on and on. And you're like, okay, you've had five, wait, I have to tell you more. You can just let it go.
Right.
And then and at that's... the very, very end, when you're talking about, you know, this one, that's not necessarily boring, but drawing things out and being stupid is, you know, when, what's
and that's the other thing about comedy is it needs timing. You got to be quick, you know, and no, this is not quick.
Well, when what's his name falls into the pool at the end and the girls are like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, just running back and forth and looking around like they don't know what to do. They were just swimming in the pool hours ago. I don't know how, you can't tell time in this movie. And that woman very clearly rolls her eyes and walks off.
Right.
That was fun.
But I wondered, Moody, if you thought the same thing I did at that point, because when I remember we're talking about how comedy has to be quick or else it's just awful, like this film. Every now and again, you get a movie like The Greasy Strangler, where they on purpose will take a scene and push it out and push it out and push it out to ridiculous extremes in for effect. The difference is that's done intentionally and skillfully enough that it actually becomes funny, whereas this is just ham-handed and just incompetent. You know what I mean?
Porto?
Yeah, exactly.
Porto?
Porto.
Porto.
Porto. Yeah, we'll have to show you The Greasy Strangler.
Oh, God, no. She's not going to watch that movie. He is not going to watch that movie. That's one of the...
Come on.
We even say in our, like, What the Fuck Friday video that this is something we can't show Jen. We discussed that.
We just got to sit you in between us so that when she goes to punch somebody, it's going to be you and not me.
Oh, okay. she's usually on my side anyway when she's watching it.
There you go.
She's
strategic.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. She should punch you. You're the one who like inflicts her all this pain. I mean, I do too. I don't, it's a combo. So there you go.
And the one thing I also wanted to point out real quick is the music, though, the incredibly white beach music was performed by the Young Giants. They're the ones with the yang, 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 yang.
Okay.
Were they actually in the beach scene, or did they just get some other young guys to
see there? That's them.
Yeah, that random beach scene. Okay, we're gonna have music. We're gonna have kissing on the chubby guy. We're gonna dance around in bikinis, and then it's like, okay, wait, we're on a mission. Take off.
Yeah, I loved. Was it Misty? What? They were like kissing, dancing. Other stuff, kissing, dancing, like it just kept doing that.
Kissing.
Yeah. The
band is playing their electric guitars where they're not plugged into anything.
I will say, I know like Jen only watched the Misty version and I watched both because I did want to make sure I caught some things or whatever when I rewatched it. So
you just watch the dancing again.
I mean, seeing all the random girls' butts wasn't a big problem.
Well, you know, Misty has to cut it down to a certain length, so there is some stuff that's missing, but it's not that important, really.
Yeah, there was. I mean, I saw a couple things, just like a couple like little scenes that didn't make much of a difference because, like, later there was another scene that was similar to it. So it's like I get what they cut.
Like what? Just
So there was a scene with him talking about being an animal. And I don't remember it being in the Misty scene where it's So what happened was he explains, he talks to the doctor, Heathcliff talks to the doctor and was like, thank you for, now that I'm back to blah, 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 blah. And then later there's another scene with him talking to him again. And that's when he turns back. Right. So that's all they wanted to keep. And that was in the Misty. So it was like they kept, they took out one scene that just didn't really, but to me, it was nice to have in there because I, as a person was like, I thought when I first saw the explosion of Heathcliff, I thought, oh man, Heathcliff's dead. Like that's fucked up. And they kiss, the kiss and the doctor was just like, fuck you, I'm out. Here you go. And so like, it was kind of messed up, but that part was some of those little things. Much of the other stuff I didn't notice. If it were added or whatever, it didn't make much of a difference.
There's a little bit more with the Bruno Vissoto's group, the patent people, that doesn't really make sense. Did you notice the other guy who couldn't talk, the guy who kind of looked like Jim Neighbors? I forget who played him, but that whole thing was pretty useless.
By the way, we didn't mention that in the Misty thing, they have that whole video, the little PSA on cheating.
I love that one.
I dug that a lot. I dug their responses to it because if you try to watch that on its own, don't. It is rough. But if you watch it with the Misty, it's a lot more fun because
it's like hysterical, it's
boring. In an actual thing like a PSA.
I love when the teacher's disembodied head comes to visit him at night, and he's like,
like getting caught cheating on one test. Like anyone cares about that?
And right. And they have a whole the student council is deciding whether to let him back in to what?
I think we know why you're here, don't you, Johnny?
Oh, his friends don't like him. Oh, yeah, right.
By the way, have you seen my rib cage?
I don't think your friends are gonna like, unless they are like completely assholes, I don't think they'll care if you cheated on a test, once in your life. He's never done it before.
First time. Poor sweet Mary, no.
Oh man, that was so great. So that was worth honestly, I like Misty, but sometimes I don't like it because, if I end up wanting to watch the movie because it's so bad, like I miss all the stuff. So I have to rewatch the actual movie. So it means I have to watch it twice just to, sometimes I don't mind, and some movies I do mind, And because they talk over some of the stuff, I can't hear what they're saying, what the people are saying in the movie,
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And that's why, I felt primarily if we went the Misty one, I knew you guys would be entertained by that part. And those of us who were dying for more, which I figured was not going to be just Jen, which is fine.
we
happy enough.
Paul and I love watching this stuff. Jen, we just kind of threw you in here,
Yeah. But I mean, this does have a lot of that crazy, wacky '60s stuff that I know you like.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was a lot of it. I mean, I have to. As much as I complain about, I love all the random ass dancing. We're just gonna have a party on the beach before our mission because why not? We're gonna wear crop tops and bikini bottoms with our machine guns because and we're
clam diggers.
Yeah. Yeah, clam digger. Just cuz. Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
And we're going to initiate you as a Batgirl under Article 21, Paragraph 6, Subsection B, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah. What was kind of annoying me in the beginning is you don't get a feel for what this group is.
Right.
Are they crime fighters? Are they a sorority?
Well, you even pointed
out crime fighters, they just kind of sit there and don't do shit.
Yeah, you pointed out that these Batgirls were very useless earlier. Like and that was true, like absolutely useless. Like they don't do anything. They expect Batwoman to do all the work, I guess.
Useless,
sort of
but cute.
I guess. I don't know, because like you never really get to know any of them. They're just there in the background most of the time.
I kind of dug the little shorty that looked a little bit like Barbara Streisand with poofy hair.
I sort of liked the main girl, the brunette girl, you know, because she was sweet, you know, it seemed like my favorite like little scene with her is where she's trying to get them to like tell everything with her wrist watch or whatever wrist thing, and then they're like at first like they're like, oh yeah, we're here, blah blah blah, and then they're like, wait a minute, is that some kind of bites him, yeah.
That was great. Now, my favorite is when she's in the background before the happy pills are even mentioned, and she's just like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, so you're just like, what the hell is going on?
And then I love the one where the Misty's like, oh, Gloria Steinem gets down, where this one woman is just like, that was great.
Yeah,
that was great. And then, like, they're like, you know, oh, I'm losing my mind. And he goes, now I'm losing my mind. When they see all the back girls dancing around with the guns in the bank vault. It was so crazy.
Well, no, the guy just randomly comes up with bowls of piping hot soup that they just down. You're not downing piping hot soup.
No, nope.
No, it's clearly air. And they have the worst.
Takes all of 5 seconds.
Yeah, they even say something about the air. Fake
beards and mustache.
I call them the Three Stooges, like, yeah, literally.
It is. It's a Three Stooges or Hudson Brothers thing.
Yeah, or Marx Brothers or whatever, you know, like, or whatever, you know, like, they're just so silly and goofy and like, that actually made me like it a little bit more, that there was, like, some goofiness to it, because if they took this shit too seriously, I would have hated it, you know, I would have hated this movie. This movie would have been boring, but at least it was, like you said earlier to start with, this movie was not boring, you know, it had moments where you just were like, okay, what the fuck is going on? You know, it's almost a What the Fuck Friday, you know, kind of thing, you know, could have been for that too. So,
well, what do you think? Are we at that time?
We are definitely at that time.
All right. So now we're at the part where we get to talk about our ratings. And for those of you who don't know, we score our movies on a score of 1 to 10, by which 1, a very low score, means there's not a whole lot of stink. 5 is in between, and 10 is a big fat steaming barrel of stink. And it means that it's just a bad, bad, bad movie. Doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't a lot of fun, but it definitely means that there were some serious, serious problems. So then we get our 3 scores, we total it up, and then we try and figure out what was the stinkiest movie of the season. Boy, we've already gotten off to a roaring start here on season 5 of Indie Film Cafe. So I'm curious to see where this is going to be.
I'll be honest, I don't think you need to search much further for the worst one. I mean,
we already had that covered. I don't know. Turkish Star Wars was pretty bad. We did that too.
Trust me, I got worse.
Yeah. So, but this may be up there with her. What do you say, Jen? What is your what's your rating?
I'm still thinking. Someone else go first.
Okay, well, Mr. Moody, what about you?
I'm gonna give it a 10. Like, it is it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. Like, it is not, you can't say there's no redeeming part of this movie. Even if there's some good acting in it, it doesn't make up for all of the terrible stuff that happens throughout the whole movie. And actually knowing more about like the director and what he did and everything, that makes me even like, it's a 10. It's a 10 for me.
Well, especially because I know you love the whole superhero thing and Marvel.
Honestly, it's funny. I'm a big Marvel fan, not a big DC fan. I'll watch them or whatever, and I'll collect them as on 4K, but I'm not a DC fanatic, you know, or whatever. And Batman is one of my least favorites because he's kind of boring. He's kind of boring. He's just a rich dude who can,
And those other Batman movies are just terrible and not in an unfun way.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they waste like $100 million. They wasted, what, about $30,000 on this film, if that?
Maybe less, it seems.
And this one was a lot more fun. It was terrible, but it was a lot more fun. So I can't find it in the heart for me to give it a 10, much as I would love to, because it is 10 worthy, but I'm going to go with a 9.5. It's very close.
That's fair. What about you, Jen?
Dang, you guys are vicious.
Yeah, I figured you'd go a little better.
I thought you would go a little lower too, because you seem to like just enjoy the 60s vibe to it and everything.
And I just like analyzing when you look at some of these old movies, the role and not going into social issues or whatever, but when you see the old movies, the women, what are they doing? They're dancing in little outfits and the men are all the scientists. If she's a scientist, she's a secretary. You know, I like looking at all those and where we've come since then. So I do enjoy them. I was, because like I say, y'all are mean. I was giving it an 8.
An 8? That's fair. Like that's, I'm not saying like, that, you know, I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I'd be willing to knock my score down to an even 9. I could do that.
It was bad, but I mean, we weren't checking our clock every couple minutes. No. Like, is it finished? Is it started? Is it,
that's true.
You know,
I might. Well, you know what? You know what? You're right. It wasn't boring. Yeah. It wasn't. You know, there wasn't any. Like, it wasn't. Like ineptly made, where like the shots were terrible or anything like that. I might go down to a 9, but I won't go down to an 8. I can't do that.
Well, the story was dumb, but you know, it didn't take itself seriously. I mean, they're given this stuff in as soup, not as a drink, not as coffee.
They remember when they have the little party or the little get together in front of the TV to talk with Brett Fink, and he offers them refreshments and he gives them chocolate milk. Are you kidding me?
Hey, why don't we all sit down and make ourselves comfortable? I got some chocolate milk in the refrigerator and some macaroons. Go ahead, sit down.
So, you know, yeah, there were goofy things, and Jonathan, I'm looking behind mind you, and that reminds me, the painted computer background.
I mean, they had to make the sets themselves, you know. They couldn't really,
I know, but it's so flat and obviously the dials are painted on.
I know, it's like the spirit of Ed Wood kind of went into Jerry Warren for this particular film, you know, just the cheapness and just reusing whatever he can and not having the money to do stuff.
I wonder if Ed and Jerry were friends or knew each other. Like they had to know of each other.
And that's why I so regret not getting into this 20 years ago when I could have, you know, been able to dig up some of these guys before they passed away and talk to them. And, you know, if we'd had this show 20 years ago, we'd have been able to do spotlights on so many of these guys, but they're all gone now. And that's why I want to make sure that movies like this just don't get forgotten. I'm glad Mystery Science Theater and Riff Tracks are out there. And in fact, I mean, Mystery Science Theater pretty much saved this movie from obscurity. Nobody knew about it at all. And then they picked it up out of the trash heap and said, oh, this is a lot of fun. And now a whole new generation of people like it. But of course, even that generation is different than, you know, those early 90s, and that's different now than what's going on. So being able to turn folks onto people who, you know, onto what's out there now would be a great thing for some of these movies. And that's why I wanted to make sure this one got spotlit, you know. But I like the way that Just Jen opened her heart in this film and managed to talk us both down from 9.5s and 10s down to a
9.
Little bit nicer of a score.
Yeah. 9, well, which
comparing it to last times.
Yeah, that was definitely a 10 for sure. Yeah, so you're saying like this is like worse. We trust me, you did not see Turkish Star Wars yet, and I don't know if you ever will, but it is awful. It is terrible, and this is not Turkish Star Wars, so I will not give it. I shouldn't give it a 10.
This is not Creeping Terror, which you decided was not as bad, but I think is a definite 10. I think that is much worse than this film.
I don't think so. I think it was cute. You know, at least that was cute. Like this had no real cuteness to it except for the girls, I guess, like dancing.
It had the hot girls dancing.
I know that was kind of cute, but aside
from
that,
the hot smooch with Heathcliff.
that was funny. But that was, I don't know if that was cute. But yeah, it was, what was funny was Misty just saying, ah, you know.
In my top 3 Mystery Science Theater episodes of all time, of all time. It's just, yeah. I can put that on whatever mood I'm in and it will make me laugh my ass off because it's just so much fun. And especially poor Tom Servo at the end. It's just, it's like, dude, I am so there. I am so there with you.
Yep. It's only an hour and 6 minutes long, the movie, but like it felt so long, you know, just watching it with those robots and everything. Just, oh, just like, come on. I was agreeing with him. End, damn it. You know? And when you watch it by yourself, it goes by quicker because there's no like, you know, shots of them going and talking about the cheating stuff. So like it goes into the movie itself. So it does feel shorter if you actually watch the movie itself, you know, or whatever, like feels a little, you know.
And, but, you know, I kind of felt a little bad after putting poor Jen through the last movie. So I figured I got to get something a little bit more fun and something a little bit more interesting for her. So the other reason why I dug this one up.
You felt bad, huh?
I did. Really? I felt a little bad.
Uh-huh. No. It's you wanted me to come back.
Yeah. So he knew that, you know, because I think the best part was when he sent you and me the movie. So you sent the original movie first and then you sent the Misty and that attracted Jen. And Jen was like, all right, I could watch this in my, you know, house and just relax and, you know, have a good day. You know, it's a nasty day out, so I get it.
Yeah.
It's like it's a good day to watch Misty, honestly. Like this
absolutely.
Is, you know, absolutely. So there you go. But thank you. Oh, this is it. This is our actual 100th episode. Can you believe it? I know.
I've been waiting. I've been waiting to use this one, and I thought this would be the appropriate time. You know,
that means we've done 100 episodes of Indie Film Cafe. Can you believe that, Paul? Like
100 movies. Yeah.
100 movies that we've had to watch.
Jen has been in, like, I wouldn't say half, but she's been in a bunch of them. I have to go back and do my count, but
she was in the first season. So that already right there was like 22 episodes or something. Mm-hmm.
Do I get an award or a prize or something?
Well, you've been in the most just because you were in big that, ups, you know,
big
so,
ups.
Other than us, who we definitely, and there's some episodes that Paul's done that I haven't been on. And there's some that, that I've done that Paul hasn't been on. So, you know, but like, this is just amazing. Like 100 episodes. That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. And makes me happy. You know,
that I could probably scare you up another Neil Breen shirt.
Yeah.
Can see her face.
I don't think Jen wants that, so no. You know, let's not do that. You know, she already doesn't wear the Neil Breen shirt you already gave her.
She does.
What, Dupo, is it time to go for a walk?
You probably just made him happy in a second. Like if he hears that W word.
Doornail.
All right. Well, I guess it's about time we wrap up this episode, but thank you all very, very much for coming along and for joining us in this episode. Please join us next time when it's going to be Mr. Moody's turn to suggest a film.
And, I wonder what that'll be.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we're going to give Justin a break for a little bit.
She's I don't know how excited she is about that or not, you know, but I think
you know what we should do? We should have a movie that is suggested by just Jen to inflict on us. So how about that, Jen? Why don't you pick a movie?
I don't have any of these kind of movies.
But you've seen a lot of stuff. You could probably come up with one.
Well, I mean, especially ones that have been done by like Mystery Science Theater 3000
or Riff Tracks or something.
You can pick some. All it has to be is like an indie kind of low budget
movie.
And
I know you even said before that you used to watch a lot of the old 50s movies. So there's got to be a few in there that were just clunkers that you'd love to share. Give it some thought.
Okay, I'll look, see what I got.
Okay, awesome.
This way will give you an opportunity because we're all about equal opportunity here at Indie Film Cafe.
She was just talking about equal opportunity earlier too, so that's right. Funny.
Just, you know. Jen's revenge.
Oh.
There you go.
That's what we'll call that episode. All right. So thank you, Jen. Are you still doing stuff with your Instagram?
I've kind of stopped for a little while, just busy with life and work in general. I hope to get it going again. I actually have two recipes I just haven't put up because I just haven't.
It happens.
Got some new cookbooks, so I need to, and Dylan's been bugging me about making cookies, so I have to get on that.
Nom nom nom.
Paul's probably been bugging you about making cookies too, so you know.
Oh yeah.
You get it from everywhere.
Yeah, the cooking fairy has cookies to deliver every now and then.
Well, you did for Christmas, and we very much appreciated that. Like, we love
what happens when you're the cookie queen.
I've never heard that phrase for her, but all right. Well, thank you, Jen. It was sweet having you back on, and especially for this movie. Of all the movies that Paul had to inflict on us this year, I believe this was perfect for you. So thank you. And everybody else, thank you guys. Check us out next week, where you guys are going to be inflicted by something I'll be doing, and who knows who the special guest will be for that.
Yeah, so we'll don't find forget, out. We have a Patreon page. Please go to that. We have our review page. Please go check that out.
We got a TikTok page.
TikTok, all kinds of stuff. So
yeah, got lots going on right now. So thank you guys for checking us out, and let us know what you guys think. All right.
See you next time.
See ya.
Bye. And!